Big stand like Stone Cold with a few beers. Play the game, I end the game. I'm champion, I'm Triple H. Undertaker, I'm your maker. Bury the brother like Kane. Ooh, 1-3, hit the tombstone, hit the trope, slam on face. Yeah, ooh, yeah, like a macho heel, turn like I'm Tommaso. If you sell a lot of tomatoes, I'ma keep a couple models. Ooh, and you may call me HBK. When I'm tuning up the frame, you best be getting in my way. Ooh, yeah, I'm degenerate, I love it, yes, I love it. If you wait down with that, then I got two words for you, suck it. Too sweet, put your fangs on.
Welcome, everyone, to your longest-running Australian wrestling podcast, Wrestle Radio Australia. I'm your host, Todd Eastman. It's good to be here this week. Got a big interview this week here with Tough Stuff Ricky South. Really looking forward to you guys getting in and hearing it. A great chat with the guy. He's one of those dudes. It's weird. It's like a tier system almost in the country where you see this top level of guys that everyone talks about, and Ricky's on that just that slightly. Just under level, which shouldn't happen because he is one of the best workers in the country. And hopefully this year is one of the years where he will break out and firmly place his name amongst those guys that you always talk about, the Bonzers and the Moretti's and Warburgs and Brooks and Slacks and all of those guys. Hopefully by the end of this year, you'll be saying Ricky South definitely in amongst that chatter. He does have a big title match coming up at PWA. Started out with a kiss. Let me just look that up. Yeah, started out with a kiss on March the 12th. That, of course, is going to be on Fight. So do get it. Do watch it live around the country, around the world, wherever you're listening to this. You should be able to get the Fight app and should be able to get Start Out With a Kiss. Ricky South's big championship match. Also, this weekend for PWA is their Academy shows, which is, I think it's Just Happy to Be Here. That's this Saturday night, of course. That is also on Fight at a reduced price to what the Start Out With a Kiss is. So do get that this weekend, this Saturday night live, of course, around the country. A lot of the guys from their Academy will be on that show. So it's a great, if you want to see the next up and coming crop of wrestlers around the country or wrestlers from PWA, this is a great place to do it. Of course, there will be Robbie Eagles will be on the show as well. Also, Sam Osborne, a whole plethora of guys. I believe Ricky South is even wrestling on that show. So do get that show as well. Check them out. So this Saturday, it is Just Happy to Be Here. Then on March the 12th, it is the PWA Black Label show. So do go and get those two. Fight app, if you watch AEW, if you watch Ring of Honor through the Fight app, that's where you're going to find PWA now. Also, you'll find PCW for their last summer series and hopefully some more coming up from them. So do follow them, do follow Fight, get around them, purchase the events, enjoy them because it is the best wrestling around the country today. Myself, this past weekend, I was at Venom Pro Wrestling with Jake Nova and Mitch Ryder. We had a good old start back, I guess, trudging our way back into professional wrestling slowly but surely. Had a good match with a young guy called Tiamat, and hopefully he progresses because he's got a lot of potential if he sees it out and works hard and all of that good stuff that we always talk about. So, yeah, it was good to be back for myself. And I think that'll do it for this intro because I just want to get into a quick Fears from the East and then the interview with Ricky South right here on Wrestle Radio Australia. Ricky South.
Here we are back at Vietnam. I'm in the Peacock tent. And Matt Hayter's army this weekend goes against the Family at 12 p.m. We'll see you here. Tell him.
So this is a Views from the East that I didn't even know what I was going to do. I'll be honest. I had like three or four different topics this week that I could talk about or that I've been wanting to talk about. But it's one of those things where, like, nowadays, it's so hard to want to bring topics or want to talk about certain things without fear of getting a cancellation or to rub people the wrong way or to say something that might offend people or that sort of thing. Never in a time, I find there's never been a time where we seem to be more free, but yet also more controlled in what we're allowed to say, what we should and should not say. And it's just, it's hard. It's really hard because there's certain discussions I'd love to have about theories of professional wrestling and stuff that people say that could be used in certain, you know, it's so very hard that it's just a thing like, and I sent, this is just an example. I sent some of the topics to a couple of people in professional wrestling in the country that I really do trust and I value their opinion. And I was just like, I have these ideas for these views from the East commentaries that I do. Here's the topic, and here's my sort of take on the topic. And all of them was like, oh, it's a decent enough topic, and I understand where you're coming from. You might get some heat for it because of blah 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 blah. And I'm just wondering out there, and this is just a quick, if anyone listens to this or watches this, I just want to take a quick poll where is it okay now is it okay nowadays to say things or not say things, but question things and bring certain subjects up without fear of getting canceled or getting in trouble, or especially even if you're coming from a place where you are not looking to cause trouble, you're not looking to do anything else but start a conversation about the topic, because at the moment it's a real fear for a lot of people out there that they will say something that will bring reprisal when they're not meaning to, where they're just asking the question. They're just asking why is this like this? Why can't it be like this? Why are we doing stuff like this without fear of that vocal minority, let's just say, on the internet that will attack, and any slightly thing that's worded wrongly, they will jump on an attack. It's a real fear, and it's not a real fear because you're looking to say the wrong thing. It's not a real fear because you're trying to cause trouble. It's a real fear for people who just want to open up debate, just want to have a free flowing conversation. I enjoy where I can have a debate on subjects, and I might not agree with the person that I debate with. It doesn't matter. It's just the fact that we can both put our sides of points across or points, you know what I mean, across, and have us listen, have the other group listen, and have myself listen and say, okay, this is my idea. This is what I think. This is what you think. I see your side of it. Can you see my side of it? If they can, then that's great. All I really want to do, and all I've ever wanted to do, is bring discussions. Like, let's talk about stuff. Let's find certain ways that we should be able to talk about things, even if they're slightly uncomfortable, and be able to just say, this is how I feel. This is how I think. Am I wrong, or am I not thinking of something here something that I've missed, or something that I have to take into consideration, or that sort of thing? And it's just it's one of those things where I don't know what, because this Views from the East that I do is because I want to do stuff where I can bring up thoughts and bring up ideas. And I don't know that, aside from the generic what we should like follow people on Twitters and Instagrams and promote the business and promote the industry up here, aside from that, and maybe just little things with promos, and aside from that, like, I don't know what discussions we can have nowadays that won't bring controversy. And it's not my intention, it's not my wish, but it's also a thing where I'd like to get my point across. And hopefully, if somebody has a opposite opinion or a reason why we can't do this, they can say, they can tell me, they can DM the Wrestle Radio Australia Twitter page. They can say, I'd like to come on and have a discussion about this with you, or something like that, because I would love that. I would love an intelligent discourse about certain subjects. And I just feel nowadays that we don't seem to be able to do that without fear of people canceling people for something or other. something very minor. Because let's face it, it can happen with something minor as well as something like just a crossword or a misplaced word or something like that can get people canceled nowadays. It's a scary time, especially with people who are just trying to not cause any, not cause trouble, just have a discussion. And I think the age of discussion is in danger of going away because of this. Anyway, that's probably my very long-winded views from the East this week. It's my opinion, and you're entitled to it. And we're back with Ricky South right here on Wrestle Radio Australia.
Coming out of my cage, I've been doing just fine. Gotta be down, 'cause I want it all. Started out with a kiss, how did it end up like this? Mr. Brightside.
Ricky South, thank you so much for joining us tonight, mate.
Hello, Todd. Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure coming on here. You and I always seem to have some free-flowing chats that always go way too long, and time always seems to escape us really quickly, which I guess is a good thing because always have fun talking with you.
Yeah, and it got us out of pack-up at the last show, so...
Oh, well, that was the best. Everyone carrying the ring posts as we were just having a nice little chat. Well, it was the funniest. I loved it.
It's the only reason I started this show.
Oh, sorry, gotta do a door recording.
It's for you guys. I'm promoting you guys. I mean,
I've heard that one a fair few times. I think Conco and the Fudge was created just to get out of ring crew.
100%. 100%.
Smart guy. Like, I got to give him credit for it.
You're a rarity at the moment in Australian wrestling because you're actually traveling to different states and actually being able to travel to different states to wrestle. You were at PCW last weekend, mate.
I picked my weekends pretty well. If it was a week beforehand, then I would have been screwed. But dealing with PCW was an absolute breeze. They were, all of them were lovely. The promoter was great. The setup that they have is awesome. Everyone there, the students, the wrestlers, really hospitable. Not many bad things I can probably say about PCW. I was actually meant to be there for their show in January. On the 20th,
yeah, the one that went on Fight,
yeah, the one where they debuted. But because things were looking like it was going to lock down and shit was going to hit the fan, we postponed it, and luckily we did because shit hit the fan probably the next day.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's like
it was very fortunate.
I've been saying lately that all promotions now sort of have to be nimble with what they're doing. Like venues and the booking the talent, yep, and all that sort of stuff. It's a whole new world for these guys to be navigating as well.
Yeah, and I feel like it makes it harder, obviously, on the promoter booking the shows. I think now more than ever, there's even a greater risk to promoters running shows. Not only do shows have to kind of keep in mind a lot of the COVID restrictions and anything can just change at the blink of an eye. Venues now are being way more stringent and a lot more enforceful on a lot of these regulations and the rules, which they should be, but it just makes running and performing a show a little bit harder.
Yeah, I mean, they must be having some sort of clause now that if something gets shut down, that they're not left out of pocket. Both sort of parties, it's a really weird time for the.
I hope.
Yeah. It's a bit like even you guys at PWA, you've got to be sort of like really watching everything leading up to the week of, just praying that nothing happens. Nobody leaves hotel quarantine.
leading up to the shows, because I've had this match with Ugg already called off once. I'm on all the Vic Health websites, all the New South Wales Health websites. I'm making sure that we're getting those donuts every day. And every time we do, then I feel a little bit more at ease. As long as I get to March 12th, I'm happy.
Yeah, because this
after that, who can hit the fan?
Yeah, well, because you two have been building up to this match. You guys have been building up to this match now for a long time. Really, hasn't it? It's been a long time in coming.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
It was obviously, I think it was meant to happen, I think, on the March 8th, or I don't know the exact date, in 2020. And before that date, there was about nearly a month and a half of build-up. So I have very much waited for this match for quite a while. So I'm very eager and very excited and quite keen to finally get my hands on her come the 12th. So, you know, I'm putting all my eggs into this basket here, hoping that I win. So, yeah, hopefully it all pays off for me in the end.
Yeah, for like, one good thing about you guys over at PWA is that you've got so much video footage, so much like promotional video footage, that it's easy to keep the fans abreast of what's happened leading up to. Even though you had that big break, you can still say, this is what happened before, this is what happened going into. And like, especially now, well, I don't know, have you guys got your Facebook back yet? Or
I think I just heard that yes, but I think it may take like a day or two to fully come back.
Yeah, because when that happened, I was just like, how are half, because half of the promotions, luckily there was only really the big ones, well, not luckily for you guys, but it was only really the bigger promotions that got sort of hit with that umbrella ban, but still crippling for your like promotions, because that's, Facebook's a perfect place to put on your promos, to put up your info. It's yep. Just another string to the bow to be able to promote places where people aren't looking at like a poster run that you've put up or something like that. They're always scrolling through Facebook.
And spot on. Obviously, because of that, and again, a little sidebar, like maybe it's a weird sort of pat on the back that's considered news. I don't know.
Yeah.
We're in that consideration. But once that happened, our team in charge of our socials and production just hammered home, all right, we need to up our Twitter game, up our Instagram game, and we have to really try and drive a lot of the traffic there. And even though that was only a few days, maybe leading up to close to a week, I think we've done pretty well. Tickets for our Academy show this weekend and the March 12th show have either sold out or about to sell out. So, yeah, I think all credit to Jack Strawn and Ben Anderson and the entire production team for really, again, stepping up their game and helping out in a time of need for us.
Yeah, those guys, that and I've said it to anyone that I talk about all this stuff with, that cinematic match.
You got a reference. I knew that you had to cinematic.
That is the best one I've seen, like hands down. And I'm talking like all the Hardy stuff, the Boneyard. That was, to me, was a better representation of what you can do with that product, or what you can do with that genre, than anything I've seen before. Because I actually sat down with Mitch McCarthy and we were watching the show live. And I was, before we watched it, I was half shitting on it, because I was like, why the hell would you do this when you've got a live crowd now? Like, the reason people were doing cinematic matches is because you couldn't get in front of a live crowd. Why are they wasting this time? After I watched it, I'm like, that's the best friggin' match, best cinematic match I've seen. Like, to the point where there was one point where I think it's when they're in the car doing the Fast and the Furious sort of ripper. I legit had like tears welling up in my eyes. I'm like, what the hell's going on?
It made you question, like, why am I feeling these things? Like,
yeah.
Why? Look, all credit to Jimmy and Ethan. It was fantastic. But the reason why I'm always Like, oh, the cinematic is on that show. I got beaten up. The Velocities and MK Plus Ultra put on a banger of a ladder match. And the biggest takeaway, the best thing on that entire show, was this damn cinematic match.
That was filmed weeks before.
they came away from the show and not a scratch on them.
Yeah.
That was so crikey. Sorry, Andrew, I really, Jimmy Townsend's so smug after that.
They must have been a slight bit of shitting themselves when they had the technical glitch at the start of it. I'm just going, oh no, oh no.
I think they were, because everyone was watching it backstage, but the prefects weren't there. I think they were watching it somewhere else. So I think there was a little bit of a heartache with it, or a panic attack with everyone initially. But again, and I'm going to probably do this a fair bit, but Jax, Jordan, and Ben Anderson, they quickly came through and saved the day after however long it was, after that little malfunction, and then happy days from there. That cinematic was great. I loved it.
Yeah, and it was a nice little, especially since I can't remember, it was your match was after it, wasn't it?
My match was prior.
So prior.
Just before.
Yeah, because that was a nice little, I liked the, almost a sorbet to clear the palate for the next, full on just the wrestling matches.
Yeah. It's a nice little palate cleanser. We were thinking, do we show it obviously to the live audience? But I think it was designed and put strategically there on Fight to really give the viewers at home something different during the intermission. So previously, we've always put on a previous match, which is your obviously a chance for people to obviously recoup and regather, recharge. But we put something on where something that they could not miss, they could not walk away from, they couldn't go and grab obviously a little bit of snack. We wanted to make something enticing for the debut on Fight TV. So, and again, I think they knocked it out of the park.
Also, the one thing I always thought about when they do play these the older matches during intermission is that sometimes it's a guy that's coming up later in the card, so you're seeing all that dude's spots before he comes out for his match. It's like, I just watched him do this.
You just see someone, you see the same bloke kill someone, and then 10 minutes later, oh, he's killing them again.
Yeah, it's sort of like the same thing with when guys put their entrance videos together, and they go, "I want all of my best moves on this entrance video." It's like, why? Because then they've already seen them,
and they've seen everything.
They've seen them. Why would you do that?
That's a great viewpoint, actually. To be honest, something like that doesn't actually really cross my mind too much at all. But that's actually very true. Like, if you put your entire highlight reel, if you show all your cards, then you got nothing left to show. You always keep a little bit of something that they haven't seen.
How good was it for you to be able to have Mark Davis, his first match back in what, 2 years now? Just to be I know it would have hurt the chops, but still to be just a part of that must have been great to see his sort of coming back.
I think he mentioned it was 17 months since he actually had a proper match. And just honestly witnessing the reaction from the fans live, and then witnessing obviously the reaction on social media afterwards, was very heartwarming. Obviously to have that chance and that privilege to have his first match back, it was kind of like a nice little badge of honor, somewhat, you know, because it's always good to be someone's sort of first match back. And if you do put on a good match, and if you do have a solid match, not only does it give you a little bit of a boost, but it obviously gives the person coming from that injury another little bit of a boost. And I feel like the match that Wahlberg and me and Aussie Open had, I feel like everyone came away from that feeling good, minus all the chops and all that. We all felt good. We all felt happy. I'm sure Aussie Open were happy with their performance and happy with how everything went. They're going to go on to other things. Me and Wahlberg are going to go on to other things. And it was just a really, really great time and a good experience.
And I want to big myself up here because I'm the one who picked your gear.
Yeah, baby. No one else manages to pick the gear. So I don't know how you manage to get it. Like, especially off a stream. I'm going to people. I'm like, yeah, do you get it? And they're like, no. I don't. It's Eddie Murphy. No one got it.
But no.
Todd, when I came back and I saw your message, I was happy. I was the happiest I've ever been for quite a while. The fact that you got my the reference on my gear, no one else has gotten it, but you got it. I appreciate it much.
Yeah, it was the cut of the jacket, the back of the jacket.
Yeah?
And I'm just like, oh. I'm like, that looks like, and I like really had to go over it in my mind, and I even like did a quick Google. If anyone, and I literally showed Mitch and I went, look, that's his, he's doing he that gear. He's doing that gear.
He comes up well in the live stream, but there's also like Paisley as well and like Black Piping. So, yeah, obviously I love Eddie Murphy. So when I was thinking of like what to wear, I'm like, you know what? Eddie Murphy. Why not?
Yeah. Well,
so. My next gear, I think it's going to be a little bit more obvious to spot the inspiration.
Mm. Well, it's hard to, especially when you're teaming with someone like bloody Wahlberg, who always comes out with something different just about every match. You sort of have to match that, don't you?
Yeah, but it's a lot easier just to find a website that sells cool basketball shirts. I gotta think about my designs. Maybe Wahlberg goes, what's cool? What do I like? What team do I like? Or what social media, or sorry, what pop culture reference? Bang, I'll buy that one. I gotta think about this stuff. I gotta find inspiration.
Yeah, find inspiration. Then you gotta find a mate. You gotta find a costume maker.
Yeah, and then I gotta pay someone to design it. I gotta pay someone to create it. To be honest, Wahlberg's gonna actually sort it. Just get the jersey and he's done. But also, he's got a lot of jerseys. I don't think I've ever seen him repeat a jersey.
Yeah, that's like the one thing that him. One thing him and I have in common. Like I'll see something, we're like, when'd you get that one? Where's that one from?
You both are like, I've got this one. Which one do you have? Like, oh, I don't have that one.
Yeah.
Where do I get that one?
Mine's moved now into sneakers, which is a dangerous area.
Oh yeah.
So
slippery slope to get into, my man.
Yeah, because I just bought the blue colorway of the Damian Lillard Ric Flairs. And then and now I've just got it's on its way now, the white version, which is so much better. Because the white version's got like the gold, you know, the gold like almost paisley things he has.
Yep.
It's like that all over the shoe, and I'm like, oh.
Are you gonna be are you the kind of like sneakerhead that like wears the sneakers maybe once or twice, and if a splash of dirt gets on him, then all hell breaks loose?
I'm not happy.
Lose.
Yeah.
Break down, cry.
Like I've got like my favorite.
Anyone smudges it.
Yeah, well, my favorite pair of sneakers I call my show sneakers because I just wear them out for the match, and then straight as I get back for the match, they go straight back into the bag, and I put on the other ones.
What if someone spills like beer or a drink or someone's blood by any chance comes off and just stains your sneakers? That's too much of a risk.
Well, yeah, there was nearly an incident last Saturday, and I was like, don't you bleed on these. Well, one of the guys got like an inadvertent like elbow and just it cracked him open. So he was like streaming blood out and come over towards me. And went, don't come towards me. Go that way.
Stay away from the kicks. If you get a drop of blood.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, luckily, the flares, those flares ones, the ones that I had, the blue ones, are like, they're like alligator skin sort of like material. So it's easy enough to wipe that sort of stuff off.
Okay. Yeah, so, like, honestly, like, I don't have, like, any of those kind of, like, collectible hobbies. Like, I just feel like a sneaker hobby, being a sneakerhead, just damn, and costs a fair bit. Like,
yeah, that is the one downside of it.
Yeah, like,
I don't make a hell of a lot of money, so it's sort of like, it's an occasional hobby.
Yeah, like, my hobby is probably collecting cool pro wrestling or Japanese wrestling shirts, but buying these shirts from, like, these local designers overseas isn't cheap.
No, no.
Paying for the shirt, the conversion, and then the shipping, you're looking at about, like, 70, 80 bucks a shirt.
Yeah, well, I only bought a Miracle Violence Connection shirt. Man, they wanted $110 for it. Awesome. I'm like, it's a t-shirt. I can't justify.
I can't do it. I can't do it.
Yeah.
$110, I'm going to buy my week's groceries.
Yeah.
Although it's going to be a cool shirt, I can't do it. I can't.
Nick, you'll see me in like two weeks wearing it going, I couldn't
wear it. Here's the thing. 50 bucks? All right. I can maybe take a hit. But 100 or even like 80?
Yeah. See, I think 70 is around my limit for that sort of stuff. Yeah. Unless I can feel...
It's got to be a great fucking shirt if I'm paying like 70 bucks.
unless I can find like the cheaper, like the tribute version on like, say, a Redbubble or something, I'll get that.
The Redbubble version. Like, all the shirts I wear are pretty much Redbubble.
Yeah, the same.
Because they're about 30 bucks, you know.
Yeah. So. I found a WCW Dynamic Dude shirt on there the other day.
Oh.
So I was like, I've got to buy that because no one will know what it is really unless they ask me. And then I'll be like, well, that's Shane Douglas and that's Johnny Ace.
That's my little hobby. Collecting cool little Japanese shirts.
Yeah. Well, like, I went out to lunch with my wife the other week and she's like, can you do me a favor? I said, what? She's like, no basketball singlets, no wrestling shirts, just once. I'm like, well, you're really limiting my choices now because...
I'm hard pressing. I have no wrestling shirts. Shit, I'm... Crap, I'm done.
Yeah.
So for me, it's usually just wrestling shirts or weird, obscure cult movie shirts.
Okay.
I don't go outside of that.
No, because you want somebody to know, to recognize it. Just one person. You just need one person and you're like, yeah, it's fine.
Every time anyone recognizes my Big Lebowski shirts, I get a nice sort of warm feeling inside.
Yes, very good.
Yeah.
Well, like I bought one off Redbubble, but it was the Brooklyn 99. But it looked like they're just like a shirt they'd wear on an exercise, like a training exercise, with like the badge there, but it had like Jay Peralta. And I'm like, there.
They're only doing one more season.
Yeah, I heard it was announced not long ago. So
yeah, they're officially coming to an end.
But then again, they got moved around so much.
I think they were. At what point were they going to get canceled? Like season 4 or 5?
It was one or two seasons ago, and they moved. They actually got canceled. Then they got picked up and put onto another network.
Yeah, because there was such an uproar from social media.
Yeah. Which is
awesome.
It's good to see something like that can happen for something that's good.
Yeah.
They use their powers for good instead of evil.
It's awesome. I love Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Anyway, let's talk a bit more about you because we just went off on a complete tangent.
Okay. This is what I mean. Hard
work. Yeah, it happens. It happens. How hard did you find it to keep your eye on the prize, if you would, over the break?
It went through its stages. It went obviously through its ups and downs. Obviously, when it first happened, then everything kind of went into a bit of a lockdown. I was still very motivated, still very persistent and determined and keen to obviously... Train, do whatever I can to challenge Ugg and beat Ugg. And then after a while, because I focused on rehab, my body, doing other things, kind of my focus was pulled away from that a little bit. And as we started doing the premiership, then I kind of cycled back up and then, all right, we're back into the swing of things a little bit. And seeing everyone perform and put in all these cool banger matches made me realize that, all right, everyone else is up in their game. I'm going to up my game even further. And the way I do that is obviously by beating Ugg and going from there and onto better things after that. So it was really a little bit of an up and down, but now it's probably the highest it's ever been because we're only about 3 weeks away.
Mm. And I noticed, I remember like the last time we talked, we sort of talked about your style and like if you'd ever change it to go to a more serious role or a more serious sort of a character. And that's sort of been happening, I've noticed, over the last so while. Is that something that was conscious, like a conscious effort, or is it just sort of like as you're moving towards this sort of like going for the title, it's sort of it's time to sort of switch and become a bit more hard edge, if you will?
I feel like Ricky South's intentions is what's going to obviously determine how I act. If my intention is to go for the title and to defeat Caveman Ugg, then I can't really be, the very funny, the very outgoing and flamboyant Ricky South that kind of takes the mickey out of a few things here and there. If I do want to be a serious contender and do want to be thought of as someone who can take the title away from our champion, then I do need to get serious. That doesn't mean if I have other goals in mind or other objectives or other desires, then, I can, you may very well see the Ricky South of old at that stage or when that happens. But right now, with my intentions being Caveman Ugg, I got to be serious. So I'm changing up my my style, what I do in the ring, my moves, my my mindset. It's all very much shifted and catered towards Caveman Ugg. As I said, it's all many eggs are in this basket.
Mm. And did you feel like almost a sort of a bit more of a pressure now because you're heading into that area? And if you become the champion, the pressure that is behind? Because it's not like it was, say, 2 years ago when it was just like you were doing your monthly shows and that, like now you'd be the head of the company that's having pay-per-views every month. It's sort of like it's a lot more to it now than just, that's not denigrating guys that have titles and all that sort of stuff, but it's got to be a whole new sort of pressure to it.
Well, I think what you said is spot on. PWA, where we are now is different from where PWA was 18 months ago and so on and so forth. So the pressure has changed. But top of the man, I fucking love pressure. Okay. I love it. I want it. I wouldn't be doing this and I wouldn't be challenging Ugg if I wasn't ready for it. So, yeah. I'm just going to eat up this, but I'm just going to love it. Okay.
And now because of the way
that's similar to that as it goes.
Yeah. And now because of the way sort of things are with like international travel and all of that, sort of like you don't know when that'll happen again. Has that sort of turned, say, you and a lot of the guys focus more to, well, we're going to make this thing. And I don't know, a lot of the guys were already sort of thinking that way, but even though you're thinking that way, there was always one eye sort of looking at that, maybe going overseas. Whereas now it's sort of off the books for the next, we don't know how long. So is it more just like, I'm just going to make this huge?
Yeah, pretty much. And as you said, I think a lot of everyone's goal here pre-COVID was always as many eyes onto Australian wrestling as possible, as many eyes onto PWA and doing the absolute best that we can to promote our visibility. But now with the possibility of international travel being very limited, again, a lot of people are, and to use that term again, putting a lot of their eggs into the basket that is just Australian wrestling and what they're doing at PWA. So a lot of people are putting on their best work, their best performances, their best promo work right now. Because they've just realized that if they do want to create a little bit of a buzz, it's not really going to happen by them going overseas. It's going to happen by them doing their best work on the local shores and seeing if that gets picked up through the likes of Fight or any other sort of streaming service.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, Fight, and although like OVO was a great deal for you guys, the being on Fight is a whole other level, because you've got guys, you've got wrestling fans that are going on there every week to watch. So it's like the only way for international fans to watch Dynamite, like AEW Dynamite and Ring of Honor pay-per-view.
Yep.
And now they get to see that there's some Australian stuff there. That's got to be just another level for you guys to be able to reach more people.
Well, 100%. I think Fight has really opened us up to a broader international audience. And I'm just judging that based off a lot of the reactions we saw, or I saw personally, after our recent show. But just to see the fact that on Fight TV, when you look at wrestling, I think there was a photo of it. It was AEW, Ring of Honor, and then right next to it was PWA. Mm. And it was weird just being in that sort of category or that echelon was very cool to see, and kind of a little bit of extra motivation to really hammer this home and to really perform well on Fight TV, because you never know who's watching. You never know where they're watching from. So we're always just focused on putting on the best show and best performance that we all can.
And not only that, like the fact of the matter is, we're very lucky at the moment, like us, New Zealand, very, very lucky at the moment that we can have like crowds. And that is a huge step up on everyone else around the world. Like other places have crowds, but they can't have the sort of the volume that we have. And if anything, it gives Australia, New Zealand a huge leg up to be able to say, this is us now.
100%. I think some people may think that kind of after the intense lockdowns that we're in a hindered position or taking a few steps back. But if people didn't kind of take their foot off the pedal and always forward thinking, we're actually in a very good position wrestling wise, because a lot of the eyes are actually, they're looking for a bit of content and looking for something different to what's being produced currently in America and the UK. And with us having fans and being able to run proper shows or semi-proper shows, immediately that's going to set us apart.
I mean, I love watching ROH, I love watching MLW, but the no crowd thing kills me. It really does. Like, as good as the wrestling is, I need to hear that crowd, and not the canned noise. As much as that, like, canned noise makes it at least a bit palatable. But the dead silence of a thing, I don't know what it is. I can't do it. Like, MMA is a different beast. You can do it for that. But wrestling just so needs a crowd to be there for it, doesn't it?
Well, pro wrestling was never meant to be conducted or done in a vacuum, in a void. Now pro wrestling, the fans are as much involved into the match as the wrestlers themselves. So having no fans is quite an adjustment, not only on the wrestlers, but those viewing the product.
Mm.
You know, the fans, quite honestly, can either make or break some matches or an entire show.
Mm. I was listening to an interview last week with Tommy Dreamer, who, you know, he headlined the last Impact pay-per-view with Rich Swann.
Yeah.
And he was like, that's the first time I've ever been gassed in a match in about 20 years, because I didn't have that adrenaline that I would normally get from a crowd. It just wasn't there, and I just couldn't manufacture it. It was. Did you find any of the guys have the same thing when they were filming the Premiership show?
Yes, and I think maybe perhaps in a little bit of a different way. Obviously, the fans are going to give you that little bit of a boost and adrenaline rush that kind of helps you kind of break through that plateau. But also in the sense, I feel like a lot of people tried to overcompensate for the lack of crowd by being a lot more vocal and a lot more focused onto the camera positioning and where the roamings were and the hard cam and making sure that we were loud and our facials were on point, all of this. And a lot of focus went into that. And what a lot of people don't realize is that shit is tiring. That's horrible. So if you're in a match and if you take this death move, I look at this one fan and I'm making eye contact with it for about 20 seconds until I get something. And then I'll eventually get something. Cool. You've got nothing. You've got no fans. You need to make, you need to create your own reaction, your own noise. You know? So that is what, at least in my case and what I saw at the Premiership, that's what was the toughest part and the part that really tested a lot of people's gas tank.
How was it going to the PCW? Because they'd never really seen you wrestle before. Was that very much like stepping back? Did you have those first match sort of nerves that you probably wouldn't have had for a long time?
You know what? And this sounds really, I don't know if this sounds cocky or corny. I don't really have too many nerves now before matches.
You cocky bastard.
I know, right? out of all the things that I can gloat about or seem that I can gloat about, I'm going to choose this. Go figure. But it's very much from a standpoint of I'm confident in my abilities. I've done this a fair bit. And I'm going to go out there and just enjoy it. That's what I think about every match. So I don't really have nerves. I know I'm going to enjoy it. Wrestling's going to be fun. I'm going to have a bit of fun when I go out there. I know my abilities, so I'm confident about this. But with PCW, it was very much a sense of a kind of like first match sort of feels, in the sense that Ricky South kind of had to revert back to the Ricky South of about 2 years or 3 years ago. Because whenever you're in front of a new crowd first time, you have to establish who you are, who Ricky South is, what is Ricky South's deal, and you're basically starting from ground zero. You know, I did not wrestle the same match at PCW that I would have wrestled at PWA, because fans of PWA have seen me a little bit. That PCW, some probably not at all. So I have to refresh and start again and basically teach the fans that this is who Ricky South is.
So was that can you see yourself going to PCW more now, or is it because there was a time there where PCW just didn't have anyone come in from the outside? They were very much a closed door policy, and now it looks like they're opening up. So have you sort of like cracked now? You've cracked the door. You're hoping to be able to go back more?
I think I've got the foot in the door, which is possibly the hardest thing to do with anyone or any organization. Just the foot in is the hard part. I had a really good match. I was very pleased with my match with Mark Cage, who was fantastic. And I feel like obviously, A, putting on a good match helps the confidence or helps the idea of being brought back again. But I see the talent that they have there, and I see the wrestlers, and I see the facility that they have, and that's the kind of place where you think, all right, this is where I want to be. I want to be here again, and I want to immerse myself in this environment.
Because that's one thing I noticed, because I've never really watched a lot of PCW like product, and then I watched their fight show that they'd put on, and I was like, there's some, aside from the Royce Chambers, who a lot of people know, there's a lot of really good talent just waiting to come out and make a name for themselves.
Yeah, and I think them being on fights really going to help that. Being a little bit more accessible to the talent and who they got is really going to bring the talent that may not be as known as, say, Royce Chambers. It's going to bring them to the forefront a little bit. I think PCW has quite a great talent pool and untapped potential. So hopefully they continue on this new path that they're going down, and hopefully a lot of their wrestlers get to be seen by a lot more people locally and in state.
Mm. And the PWA have got an academy show. Is it this weekend?
This weekend, the 27th.
I think is that 27th. Is that on Fight as well?
That's gonna be on Fight TV. Yeah,
that's brilliant. Because what I love about that is because you don't really have a lot of your regular roster PWA guys on there, so it gives these young guys a chance, like the PCW guys gives these young PWA trainees a chance to show what they can do.
100%. And the way things are in PWA, it's not easy to be on our black label shows. So we obviously have to give our fresh trainees and people who have kind of graduated the academy some sort of exposure and some platform for them to perform on. And obviously the academy shows are brilliant for all that. And I honestly don't think that a lot of them actually fully comprehend the benefit of having this on Fight TV.
Yeah.
How amazing that actually is. You know, for some people's debut match, you're going to be seen by all of these eyes, domestic, within Australia and internationally. It's pretty damn cool to see.
Mm. I remember when told me he was moving to Sydney to train with you guys. I was like, don't expect to get on shows real quick, brother, because there are a lot of hungry people there, and it's not like it is up here where you've established yourself. You're starting again from square one. You're just going to have to work your ass off to get there.
Spot on. And full credit to the man. He's done exactly that. And he took a little bit of a challenge coming into, obviously, Sydney, because the line that was, or that is there of talent, were just waiting to go on to that main show, that black label show. It's a long line.
Mm.
And it's a line full of great wrestlers and great talent. And he didn't think that he could just obviously be number one in line. He obviously had to head down, work hard for it, which he has been doing. So full credit to him. When are we thinking about bringing this out?
I think it's comes out Saturday, just before the show, I think. Saturday or Friday. Okay. I might get it out early. I'm not too sure because I've been able to record it earlier this week.
That's it. Okay. Well, then I won't say what I was going to say. What I will say is obviously check out the show.
Okay, there you go.
check out the show Saturday.
Yes. So the show, because I keep getting thrown off. So the Academy show is Saturday night, isn't it? It's not the Friday.
Yeah, Saturday night. It's Saturday night.
Sweet. No, I'll try and get it out before the show. Well, it will definitely be out before the show.
Beautiful. Jack Sean's just fucking around. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know. Idiot. I got Jack Sean and Big Fudge trying to pop me here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't
know. Yeah.
I could kill Big Fudge right now if he wasn't so funny.
Record of the Academy, you said. It'd be fun, you said.
Well, yeah. It was either that or I quickly had to rush home and do it in the comfort of my own home. And I don't like rushing things.
Well, no. That's fair.
Yeah.
See, it's so hard because normally...
I
say normally, but like a year ago, you'd probably have all these places planned you were going to go. And you don't really know, and nobody has that anymore because you just don't know what's happening in the future. So what are your actual goals for this year? Aside, of course, from winning the PWA title.
Oh, shit. Well, we just said it. obviously, winning the title. But my goals for this year is, to be honest, further grow my ever-expanding knowledge and the encyclopedia of wrestling. I've gone down some weird rabbit holes of obscure wrestling, so I always like finding the wrestling that's, you know, not that commonly known or somewhat overlooked. So I just want to broaden my wrestling horizon there. Wrestle new people that I haven't wrestled before. That's obviously a goal for me. There are plenty of people in North Adelaide and Brisbane and Melbourne that I really want to wrestle that I haven't actually had to have any interaction with. So that's a goal. The other goal that I think is maybe possible, I'm not too sure, and it was a goal I had for 2020 is actually go to Mexico. So I know international travel is going to be a bitch for me, but Mexico is always on the table. Mm. I've learned Spanish for it.
I tried, and I'm just not good.
Don't get it? Can you roll your R's?
No, I can do that. Yeah, I can do that.
Oh, okay.
But it's just like, because I was trying to learn off Duolingo.
I use Duolingo as well.
Yeah, because one of my friends was learning, because he's got grandparents that are German, so he was learning German through Duolingo, and just he'd been doing it for like 6 to 8 months and just wasn't really picking it up. So he ended up getting a tutor, and these tutors like, oh, that's the worst thing to do. Don't. I'm like, well, that's good. Thanks. Apparently it's just really hard. Yeah. Unless you've got someone there to help you with like conversational sort of things, it's really hard to pick up languages. Like I could probably, the best thing Duolingo is for at least is being able to read Spanish. Like I think I could read Spanish fairly well. Speaking it is a different thing.
I was about to say, I can read Spanish. I can understand and speak Spanish. Obviously not speak it fluently, but yeah, understanding Spanish is hard, and especially when they're speaking fluent.
And they speak so quickly.
The Spaniards and the Mexicans speak so quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. I ask them to just slow down for a second. Give me about 10 seconds to register what you said. I'll put all the verbs in the order, and then I'll understand everything.
Yeah, because I'd been doing it for about 4 or 5 months, and I tried to watch a AAA show, and I'm like, I'm not getting any of this.
Yep.
The occasional word that's being thrown out, I'm catching, but...
Oh, no. Yeah. I'm trying to understand a AAA CMLL show is going to be the worst. Obviously, you have all of the Spanish announcers speaking a million miles a minute, and it's just, I don't know how it happens.
Yeah. Same thing, because I thought, oh, well, I'll try Japanese. Japanese is worse. Because Japanese is just like, they just start with the symbols. Instead of telling you what words sound like, they just start with symbols.
You know the symbol. Come on. You know kanji. You know it. Come on.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
It's just, oh, God. So it's always a wheel. But yeah, so I have a goal to go to Mexico, and obviously Spanish would help. And, sorry, Jesse. I think they got me to course. Yeah, so and then that was the main incentive to really learn Spanish. Obviously, I think it would help me if I was to ever go to Mexico. So I'm actively trying to work towards that goal of going
there. Kind of off topic, and I'll give it a second because I might edit this out.
So we go off topic. We go hard left.
How do you find like people that try and pigeonhole the Ricky South character, like as one certain thing or another, because it can be open to interpretation.
Very much so, obviously. But I feel like all the really good characters in pro wrestling are open to a little bit of subjective thought. You know, To me, Ricky South may represent or be something entirely different to one person than it is to another. And I kind of like that idea. I like Ricky South will obviously represent for or represents a lot of things, but one person will resonate with something a lot more dearly or greatly than someone else.
Mm. And it's for everyone to identify with the character in their own way, and yeah, which is great. I love the character. I loved you as a worker because you're so. It's you've got that mix between technical, but then also, like, you can match strength with someone like a Mark Davis, say for instance. Because when you started chopping on the weekend, and I had like Mitch was there, I was like, oh, I wouldn't have done that. Oh, I wouldn't have done that with Mark.
Yeah. So, I don't usually chop too much. Like, I don't consider myself a chop guy. But lately, I've been managing to get one fantastic chop in my matches. So whenever you see me kind of do an overhand chop, I'm not going to do any more chops for that match. I'll only do one. It's going to be that overhand. So I did one to Custom and it was brutal. I did one to Lucci and it was even more brutal. And I think the biggest one I've ever done, and it got, for some reason or another, one of the greatest reactions I've ever got was just a chop to Matt Diamond. And for some reason or another, all the stars aligned, and it was the greatest thing I've ever done.
It sounded like his soul left his body.
It sounded like the cracking of a whip.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. You know? Like, I'll send you the video afterwards. I'll DM it to you. It's wild.
Look, mate, it's been great catching up with you. For people that want to follow, because I've been making a concerted effort on the last show and this show for how people to try and follow workers and like their promotions on Twitters and Instagrams, because we just don't know what's going to happen. And because I read today when they were going to give everyone back their pages or a certain amount of people back their pages, but they sort of said that we can take them at any time.
Yeah. So, well, that's actually a fairly good point. No one knows what the bloody hell's going to happen.
No.
But if people want to keep abreast of what I am doing in my life, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. Twitter, TS Ricky South. Twitter, TS Ricky South. I don't use Facebook too much, so probably stay away from that. So yeah, mainly Twitter and Facebook. Also follow PWA at PWA Australia on all the social media platforms. That's probably where you're probably going to see me the most.
Okay, and for everyone at home, this weekend glad to be here or something? I think it's called
PWA. Just happy to be
here. Happy to be here. That's the one.
Happy to be here.
Get onto that one this weekend to watch all the up and
get onto that one. And also, let's get on to March 12th, PWA. It started out with a kiss, the follow-up show from it coming out of my cage. I'm going to be wrestling, obviously, Caveman Oak for the PWA heavyweight title. Going to be massive. We have a 30-man rumble. Going to be massive. AJ Istria just got announced for yes. Wrestling Sam Osborne. That's going to be massive. We have a whole show with main event matches. I don't know how we're doing this two shows in a row. But... Right. Well, I remember it's going to be hard to put on match of the night.
At the start of the last show, when you opened with Jess and Robbie, I was like, holy shit. Can you imagine having to follow these guys?
Yeah. So I'm thankful I wasn't second.
Anyway, mate, thank you so much for coming on. And best of luck in the upcoming weeks,
mate. Thank you, Todd. It's always a pleasure.
And hopefully next time I talk to you, you might have a nice little bit with you.
Nice. Hopefully. I appreciate it very much.
once again, big thanks to my guest. Tough stuff, Ricky South. Best of luck at Start It Out With A Kiss. I actually hope you do win the PWA Championship, because it's something that I know that you've been working at for years now, and it would be great to see you with that strap. Once again, though, guys, if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to WRA. It's free. You can do it on iTunes every week, because it's no longer a thing. YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts from, you can get us there. If you do stop by Apple Podcasts, give us a rating and review way there. Give us 5 stars. It helps us get inside more ears and hits all the algorithms. So when you type in wrestling in Australia, it will pop up, hopefully. Share the show. Spread the word about professional wrestling in this country. Make sure you like us on Facebook. Just search out Wrestle Road Australia. We haven't been taken off. Well, I think everyone's getting their stuff back now, which is great to see. But still, because we don't know, Facebook has threatened that they'll take this stuff away from these people at any opportunity. So go over to the Twitters, the Instagrams, hit up all your favorite promotions on there and follow them. Just in case this shit happens again, then you can still know when all your shows are happening. You'll still know when tickets are going on sale. You'll still know the matches that are coming up on these shows. Make sure you like us on Wrestle Australia and on Twitter at Wrestle Radio AU, or me personally at Beast Eastman. We're also on Instagram at Wrestle Radio AU. If you want to support the local industry, subscribe to one of the streaming services, Australian Wrestling Networks out there. It's doing some great things. A lot of the libraries of promotions from around the country are now on there. So do go there, subscribe to their service, and get around them. Mikey J and the crew over there doing a great work with all of that stuff. Also, PCW have got a network. Go and hit them up and follow and subscribe to their network. Riot City Wrestling is on YouTube. Of course, PWA and PCW, aside from being that PCW having the network, they're also on Fight App. Of course, this weekend, this Saturday night, it is Just Happy To Be Here, I think it's called. It's the Academy show, and then also Started With A Kiss on March 12th. Go and follow them. Go and purchase these things. Support the industry. Support the local industry, especially. Especially in these times, because this is when we have a real chance. Australian wrestling has a real chance of putting a very solid foothold. Because at the moment, we are the only promotions in the world that get to have decent-sized crowds at our events. And let's face it, crowds are a massive part of what makes the professional wrestling experience one of the ones that it just makes the experience so much better than an empty arena show. Let's just face it. I personally didn't know how much I missed crowds until they weren't there. And now this is the way you watch wrestling. You watch wrestling either live in the crowd, or you watch them at home listening to a crowd as well, because that just gets you more into it. Also, support the wrestlers themselves. Go to wrestlermerch.com and get some of their swag. They've got a lot of wrestlers from around the country now have their shirts and whatnot up on Wrestler Merch. If your favorite wrestler doesn't have a shirt on Wrestler Merch, hit them up. Tell them to get their asses in the gear. Go to Wrestler Merch. Get themselves a store, get themselves going, because the only way we can support these guys really, aside from going to shows, is buying their t-shirts. So let's go out and do that. Let's go out and support. I want to be able to go to my local shops and see people wearing a Jake Nova shirt or a Mitch McCarthy shirt or a Ricky South shirt or a Caveman Ugg shirt, or you get what I'm saying. I want people to be able to, because I want people to, when you're wearing a shirt, someone go, oh, where'd you get that from? I got it from Wrestler Merch. Or who's that? This is Ricky South. He's awesome. He's an Australian wrestler. You should go and check out the shows. It's our way of helping not only like support the wrestlers, but if you're wearing the shirt and then people ask you where it's from, you can tell them, this is from PWA. This is from PCW. This is from Riot City Wrestling. This is the way we get the word out ourselves. This is how we help. Is by supporting not only monetarily, but when someone we rep the merch, we go out there, and then if people ask, you say, you let them know, this is what's going on. This is if you're a fan of wrestling and you're not watching the local product, you're missing out. And that's the goal for this show. It's been the goal since day one of Wrestle Radio Australia, is to get the word out about professional wrestling in this country. If you want to support us, there's no real way to support us because I don't really, I've got shirts up on Redbubble, but basically any money I make off those shirts on Redbubble, I donate the proceeds to Beyond Blue and Gotcha for Life, which are two charities that are, if you've been in any way a listener of the show over the last couple of years, you know that we are very big into men's health and suicide prevention and that sort of jazz. And Beyond Blue and Gotcha for Life do great work when it comes to those two things. Gotcha for Life, especially helping out with young men. And I think they're even branching out now to young women to help them to learn that it's okay to talk about that when you've got problems. And it's okay. It's okay to ask a mate if you're okay. It's okay to say, you're right, mate. Do you want to go for a drink or something? We're going to chat. Something like that. It's not hard. Just a little thing sometimes work. If you see something on Facebook or something about someone who just seem just a bit off, shoot them a DM. You all right, mate? You okay? Everything cool? It's just these little, and you'll be surprised how much a little gesture helps. And my little gesture is doing this show, I guess. So, and that is it for this week on Wrestle Radio Australia. Next week I have an absolute legend in South Australian wrestling, Havoc. And I cannot wait to sit down and talk to that guy because the stories he must have over, I think it's been 22 years now in the business in Australian professional wrestling. I cannot wait to sit down with this guy, crack his brain open and just have a good old chat with him. But until then, I'm Todd Eastman. It's my opinion, you're entitled to it. We'll see you next week right here on Wrestle Radio Australia.
Let's be busy, 23, got me feeling way too sweet. Too sweet, too sweet, yeah. Too sweet, put your fangs up. Too sweet, pour another cup. Let's be busy, 23.